Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6 o'clock on the Fan. Boomer and Carton here, coming from the Investors Bank studio. And speaking of Investors Bank, you know, there was a time when I came to New York and there was another quarterback wearing blue that nobody knew who he was. Now, I will say, he was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He had one of the greatest performances in quarterback history when it comes to the biggest game. So people recognized him for his brilliance on the field. But where was the brilliance off the field? That's what I always wondered. Where was the personality? Where is the guy that we know today that's got an edge to him, that's always bitching about something? Where is the guy today that he and his son just go after each other all the time when they're here intermittently sitting in for either me or Craig? Well, I got him here today, and I am so proud to say that I am a part of a green team with you, the Investors Bank folks who are taking over our studio here, and it is none other than the great Phil Sims.
Oh, okay, now you're going to buy into that.
We don't refer to Phil as Phil Sims.
Yes.
The great Phil Sims.
He started that. You know, Boomer, great to be here with you. And look, I was spending all my energy and being a player, not yes. about worrying about off-the-field stuff.
Got it.
Sometimes it distracts from the performance.
Let me ask you a question.
Field.
Did you hire my agent?
Yes.
Okay, then that's all
okay.
I got to say.
Well,
he wasn't doing contracts for you, you know, with the Giants. He was doing contracts for you off the field. I have, like, McDonald's commercials. I remember doing a Wiz commercial with you. You're a pain in the ass to work with.
You had
to have your own trailer. You had to have your own makeup person. I mean, you were so high maintenance, it wasn't even funny.
Okay, here we are.
Yes.
A minute 50 in the show, and you haven't shut up yet.
And I'm not going to shut up all day long.
Wait, a couple things.
Yes, go ahead.
I do thank you for your agent and all that.
Yes.
And unfortunately, what you're saying, you love telling everybody this story, but unfortunately, it is true. That
oh, you're finally coming around.
I admit, yeah, what was that first commercial we did, McDonald's?
It was a McDonald's commercial.
I was in a golf cart, and you had the chases?
Yeah, I was running after you, yeah.
You were running that because you wanted the hamburger.
I think it was a quarter pounder with cheese, actually,
yeah.
is what it was, yes.
I see you've eaten quite a few of them.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. 2 minutes into the show, and you're already insulting the host.
No, I'm not, but it's just, listen, I watched the show yesterday. Yesterday was like the first little break. You know, I had the All-Star game like you did.
You had your high school All-Star game over in New Jersey. It takes a lot out of you, yes.
Whoa, man. I mean, it's energy.
So is it North and South Jersey? Is that how you break it up?
Right, North versus South,
and
yes.
And who won the game?
The South won. They were just, you know, they got a chip on the shoulder, the South.
They're
part
gritty.
Of New Jersey.
Yeah, okay.
And it shows when you watch even an All-Star game. The kids were so into it, so it was great, and but yesterday,
yes.
watching you on the show, Jerry Recco, you were so happy.
What do you mean I'm so happy?
You were just, because you just couldn't stop talking, because this guy that sits in this chair here
yes.
wasn't here interrupting you and whatever. So
yes. I get a lot of free time now when he's not around.
I was going to say, take a breath. Like, you're going to pop.
Nibbling at my ankles the whole time. Yes, there's no question about
it. But it's good to sit. And a couple things I've learned. I got here this morning. And
What time did you get here this morning?
I got here early.
You're like an old man. You got here like at what, 3:30?
No, I got here about 5.
Oh, okay.
But
you worried about traffic or something?
I'm just a boomer. I played 15 years in a league. I never got fined once for anything. Well, no, I'm sorry. The league fined me for my socks.
Okay.
But the team never fined me.
Well, you know, you were never late for a meeting, which is
never.
The way you should never be late. No quarterback should ever be late for a meeting. No quarterback should ever miss a practice. No quarterback should ever be AWOL. Every quarterback, if he's out with his offensive lineman the night before and they're going knee-deep into it, knows that, you know what, I still have to get up and I still have to post the next morning.
You know what? You interrupted my thought, and I can't. Oh, no, I got it now. I was going to say, I already forgot my thought because you just
rudely
interrupted.
That's okay. Again.
That's good.
Did you wait till you see Sundays this year? This is going to be great. I'm going to clamp you down, man. I mean, it's going to be funny.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Wait.
What game are you watching?
Let me get this out of my mouth before I forget it, and then we'll get into that. So I walk into your office, and you know, there were some things in there, and a little alcohol and stuff. And then I walked into Craig's office. I looked in that refrigerator. I'm not going to tell you what all was in there.
Oh, it's a mess, man. His office is brutal, man. There's no question about it. Yes, he is a combination of I would say Dr. Evil, Linus, you name it. He is just absolutely a mess.
Is he in town?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because when I did this and said I would love to come in and work with you a couple of days and all that, I was hoping Craig was in town because I've never had the experience of going out to dinner with him. I hear it's really kind of like
a show. Interesting.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. It is Captain Chaos.
Your son has been out, I think.
Oh, yeah. He tells me stories. I go, you got to be lying. This can't be true.
No. It's true. It's all over the place.
Look at the menu. He orders basically the whole menu. It's just a disaster.
So your son, who's a very picky eater, right?
Yes.
He's a very simple eater.
Yes.
You know, whether it be his cereal in the morning or his steak at night. I don't even know if it's his steak. What does he like?
He's beans and chicken and all that
he's
stuff.
He's not a steak guy. That's right. Because we went to the prime rib place out in San Francisco for the Super Bowl, and all they serve is prime rib. So he sat next to me, and literally 5 minutes into the dinner, he looked and said, "There's nothing else here that I'm leaving." And he got up and left.
That's nice.
Just kind of like you. That's usually what you do.
Oh yeah,
you usually get up and leave. But you know, in all seriousness, it's great to have you on here, Phil. And it's going to be great to be working with you on Sunday afternoons on the NFL today. I don't know about how all this transpired and everything else. All I know is that the powers that be found you a home because Tony Gonzalez decided he didn't want to come back.
Right.
And it just makes total sense. And your life is going to be so much better for it.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. What were you going to say back there?
That's Jim Nance.
Jim Nance. Oh.
Yes. That's your buddy.
Okay. Hello, friends. Jim Nance.
But just think, some weeks
we
could do Monday QB inside the NFL and then have the NFL today.
That'd be a little bit too much.
That'd be a lot, man.
I will just say this now, and I'm going to go on record saying it. By November 1st, I'm going to be so sick and tired of you, it's not even going to be funny.
Well, I'm surprised it'd take that long, I'm going to tell you. We're going to come out blazing, I know. That's why I'm going to watch everything I say, because I like for it to be spontaneous when we
go on the air. Yep. Well, I know one thing, that once the games start and you sit there and you watch all the games, you're going to miss the initial foray into doing the game yourself and being live at the game.
Sure.
But the fact that you don't have to travel, the fact that you could stay home, the fact that you can go to high school football games, which I know you love to do over in New Jersey, the fact that you could actually go out to dinner on a Saturday night without feeling the pressure of worrying about what you're going to say the next day, doing a game, which I know you love as well. But the NFL today it's just a great family. You're going to fit in perfectly, and you're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think I'm looking forward to it in many aspects. The travel, of course. When they made the switch and they told me I was going to be in the studio, there was something I said, oh my gosh, I can cover the league.
Yes,
instead
exactly.
Instead of just focusing on one or two games. And the travel
you and I doing the NFL inside the NFL over on Showtime. That's why I was so much better prepared than you were, because I get to see all the games. You only get to do one game and two teams.
Well, it just never came out on the air like that, I'm going to tell you, big man. But you know, the other thing, and we would always talk. We talk always during when we set up one spot inside the NFL and go to the next. And of course, I talk about the game I just did or the one I'm doing because, you know, there's nothing like that, which I really will miss, being at practice, standing next to a coach like Bill Belichick, and he just tells you everything. And, you know, just
because he trusts you. That's why.
He trusts me, I guess. But a lot of coaches do that. And, you know, I'm allowed to walk around the field and talk to players.
Right.
And they, you know, they never give me the evil eye. Now, there are some coaches out there that here's your spot, stand in it, don't move, don't talk, and don't say a word to a player. But the majority of them are very free with it, and it's just, it gives you a whole, first off, you really learn everything about the game, because you know what Friday practices are like. What do? You rehearse the game.
Exactly, you see the whole thing.
Yeah, so you see it all. So I'm going to miss that, and just hearing things that I would never have thought of talking about or
that came to my mind preparing for him. So I'll miss that part, but we'll try to make up for it.
Have you spoken to Tony Romo yet at all?
Yes.
You have? All right. So do you give him any advice? Do you tell him, look, this is the pitfalls. These are the things you're going to need to watch out for? And as my voice is gone already, how about the fact that...
Liquor will do that.
Didn't have any last night. But how about the fact that it's going to be an issue when he goes to meet a team, like say the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know who's on his schedule or something, where the coaches in those particular situations are not going to trust the fact that he's still very close with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Do you think that's an issue for him initially?
There will be some. I hadn't thought about that, but yes, there will be some of those instances because he's so close to the Dallas Cowboys and they still talk about him and, you know, who knows what, but he'll find his way around it. And I had it a little bit when I came out. The 49ers in 1995, I think it was, in 1996, I was with NBC. We go to practice. They're playing maybe the Jets that weekend. I'm not sure. But they stopped practice when I walked out.
Really?
And stood and looked at me. And I went, okay, I'm going to stand here and look at you. And George Seifert was the head coach. Then he came to CBS, which I thought was interesting after that when his career was over out there. But I stood there as long as I could and basically said a few words. And I said, okay, let's go. And then I talked about on the next day on the air how well they treated us.
Yeah. You and I both know just how I would say paranoid coaches are.
Yeah, that's the word.
They think people are filming their practices. They think there's people up in the trees with, photographs.
And listen, a lot of it I understand. I will tell you right now, if I don't know how you would be running the football team, but if I was in charge of a team, it would be total lockdown.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
So you would be, as a broadcast, you would lament the fact that that would be total lockdown. But if you were running a team, you'd be like, Belichick, is he'll allow you to go to practice, though.
Oh, yeah, no, he's great with the broadcasters and that. And,
right.
And especially because, you know, he's an unbelievable football historian.
Yeah.
So he thinks if you tried hard and did the best you could,
right,
he will open the doors
so
for you.
So he'll have respect for you.
But when I'm in there, just to give you an example, because they're the greatest example, I do not see one other person not a fan, not a friend of somebody, not a worker, nobody. When I'm on the practice field with the Patriots in meeting rooms, you never see anybody but players and coaches, and they don't either.
Yeah, what people don't realize is that you should listen to Phil Simms as he's sitting in for Craig Carton this morning. What people don't realize is that there are coaches that are open. They're open to having, you know, people bring guests to practice, business people bringing, you know, sponsors out to practice and all that stuff. That's not happening in
40, New England. I go to some teams, there will be as many as 50 people standing around the sidelines.
I would think that the Dallas Cowboys would be one of those teams. You know, at their big practice facility that they built now, and it's a...
I've only been in it once. When I was there, there was nobody there but just the coaches
and
the team. But that was early. I'm sure they marched through a lot of fans. They have. Even when they had their old complex, they would bring them through. So, but it's just whatever you believe in. But you know what? The league, everything is so close, so tough, that those little things, that's what makes the difference in all sports.
So I haven't seen the CBS schedule yet for Sundays, and I'm not sure where Jim and Tony will be. But
hello, friends. Jim, the answer.
That was the first thing that's the first thing that really happened to me was that I had to convince the teams that I was covering that I'm not, you know, tied back into Bruce Coslett at the time,
right,
who was the head coach of the Bengals. You know, that, yeah, okay, I had a nice little run there. It was great. I'm done. I remember it's just like guys would be so careful about the information that they were giving you because I don't think they could trust you just yet. They could not bring it, wrap themselves or wrap around their head that, yeah, okay, he's done playing. He is now a broadcaster. And I would imagine for Tony Romo, when he walks into one of these meetings, it is going to be like bizarro.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of that, but it'll be okay. You know, I think, and it gets down to it, everybody, they'll be careful what they tell you and all that stuff. But you can always read between the lines what coaches and players tell you. And the greatest thing he's going to have going for him is what? He's an ex-player. He was a quarterback. He kind of knows a little bit about everything that's going on in the field. And I remember when I first got in the business, sitting up there, I could see every play and diagnose it immediately because why? It was like watching film,
right.
Coach's film.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, they'd say the wide receiver. I go, got him. I knew what he did. Here's what he did. Just show the thing. I know it. I got it. You know,
yes.
I wouldn't even ask. And so it'll be like that for him. But the biggest problem he's going to have is what?
Criticizing.
Well,
I would think.
Well, yeah, that's going to come no matter what you are. His biggest problem is
Jim Nantz?
No. You're so bad.
I work with Jim too. Jim's great. So.
He's gonna miss the game.
Well, yeah, that
oh
part.
Oh my
of it,
gosh.
Yeah.
That first couple years I'm going, what am I doing here? I should if I'm not gonna play, I should at least coach.
Hey, what happens if Dak Prescott gets hurt, God forbid?
Well, that's interesting. And you know, I would not think Tony Romo would come back to that. Everybody brings it up. You know why? You just don't walk into an NFL team, no matter who you are and how good you are, and think you're going to get it together in 1 or 2 weeks.
And I would imagine his family is pretty concerned about his injury propensity, right? And some of the significance of the injuries that he had. But I'll tell you, when he got on the field last year against the Eagles,
yeah.
late in the season,
yeah.
he was awesome.
Well, it was a short window there. The Eagles' defense had fell apart.
But he was throwing the ball beautifully.
Well, listen, he's a... What's the word? He works on his throwing as much as any quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
He can talk to you about it. And we talk about it.
It's boring.
It's boring, I know.
Yeah, I know, my
God.
It's not
boring. It's hockey.
Hey, no, listen, let me explain something.
But
you're gonna sit around talking about guys throwing the football. But,
Well, do you talk
just
about...
Just give me the ball, I'll throw it. I don't care. I don't care if it has laces, no laces. It's slick, it's not slick. It's aired up, it's not aired up. I could throw it. I was born to throw it. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, I don't need to talk to you about throwing.
You got to refine your art. Oh, pitchers, they just pitch. They just throw it. They don't care.
No, that's an art as well. There's a craft
to
pitching.
So there's a craft to it. The shooters just, I can shoot. I'm not going to shoot.
No, you got to make sure you have the fundamentals down right. You got to make sure you have your elbow cocked in. You got to make sure that you're jumping straight up and not, there's a lot of stuff.
Are you contradicting yourself right here in the air?
No, I'm not. Because I remember the good coaches that I got along with that actually got the best out of me would always tell me, elbow up, come over the top, and they would show me film. If I was like got away from some of the fundamentals, they would go back and they would show me some of the stuff that I was doing and show me what I'm not doing right.
Well, that's good. I never was told any of that.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, I could throw anything.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I could throw anything. You put it in front of me, I could throw it.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's a rugby ball, a soccer ball, a baseball, a basketball, a football. It doesn't matter. Volleyball, it doesn't matter.
It's a good – you're coming across something I talk about all the time with draft picks.
Yeah, what's that?
With quarterbacks. You're either born to throw or not.
Right.
And don't give me one that's a made thrower.
So let me ask you a question. Tim Tebow, born to throw or not?
No.
Right, of course not. Aaron Rodgers, born to throw or not?
Oh, I think so.
Did Aaron Rodgers change his throwing motion?
Dramatically.
People don't realize that. What did he do to change his throwing motion?
Well, first off, he watched Brett Favre every day and said, hey, this guy's pretty good, and it looks pretty easy and comfortable. So he changed the way he held the football, how he delivered. He changed everything. And what happened, he became more natural. Oh, what an interesting thing.
I read a comment. You said that maybe the greatest thrower of the football that you've ever seen.
I thought Brett Favre, we'd never see another guy like that.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers is the best thrower
I've ever
seen.
But isn't Aaron Rodgers like more compact? He's a more compact and quicker delivery type of guys.
That's the way you'd want to be.
I think about Brett Favre as just a guy, like I just said, he could throw anything and it doesn't matter. And he doesn't seem to me to be a guy that's really too worried about fundamentals.
It was loose, but let me just say this. Brett Favre did all the things that you needed to do to be a great thrower naturally. So, he kept his arm, all these things.
Yeah.
And he did it just like a golfer. Some golfers, it looks funny going back. When it comes time to hit it, they're all in the perfect spot, and so do throwers.
That would be Jim Furyk. Let's go to Anthony in Belleville. Anthony, you're on with Boomer and Phil. What's happening?
Boomer and Phil? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Boomer, can you raise your hand so I know who's who over there?
Yeah, here I am, over here in the black shirt, yes.
Hey, he wears black, and I thought I would wear white today. One, I thought maybe it'd make me look tanned. I don't know if
that works
or not.
Doesn't make you look tanned. They can't see you when you got white on.
Well, that's a good thing,
too. That's why I had to raise my hand. What do you got? What else do you want?
He wears black because he thinks it's going to make him look slimmer.
Big fat Boomer.
I got to listen to this all day now.
Finally, the NFL today, because somebody knows something about football over there.
Hey, there we go.
Anthony, how about you kiss my you-know-what?
Good one, Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony. I'll tell you what. Anthony's taking shots. All right, 6:18 on the Fan. Coming from the Investors Bank Studio. Two guys on the green team now. Me and Phil, that's right. And Phil sitting in for Craig all day long today. We're going to get into some Phil Jackson stuff. The Yankees got another young guy who had an unbelievable game last night, Miguel Andujar, who went 3-for-4. He's playing DH. I'm sure you know who he is because you're a huge Yankee fan. And Steven Matz goes 7 strong innings for the New York Mets. What do you know? Both baseball teams won on the same night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.